Cancer friends. My name is Kathy Hannes. Another beautiful day. I hope you're doing great. I'm thinking about you. Thanks for joining me. This podcast is for you, and it's for me, for all of us, just to come together. If you've been touched by cancer, I know I've been touched by cancer. Yikes. Yeah, I've been touched by cancer, and it's inspired me to do this podcast. I hope you find it helpful. I'd love to hear your story. If you're wanting to share and talk about it, let me know. My website is hellocancerfriends.com. Go check it out. There's a place for you to contact me. I would love, love, love to hear from you. And again, it's hellocancerfriends.com. So yeah, I've been touched by cancer, that's for sure. I have stage 3 inoperable pancreatic cancer, and I am a miracle. I have many mutations in my tumor. It has opened up an opportunity for me to participate in a trial of immunotherapy. My trial's winding down here. It's supposed to go for 2 years, and well, just like that, my 2 years is next month, March 13th, 2022. So last week, I had a PET scan to see where things are going. See what on earth is going on inside my body. And I got the results through my chart in the form of a report. Dr. Google's could not save me this time. I've Googled every which way, and I cannot interpret this report, as I should not be able to. I am not a doctor. I'm the type of person I want to know. I want to know right away. I don't like the waiting. I don't like the anticipation. Is this tumor what I have left? Is it dead? Is it alive? What are we going to do next? There's just, my whole body has morphed into a question mark. I literally do not know what's going to happen. So I tried really hard to figure out what all these words mean, and I gave up. I'll find out more information on Wednesday. So if I got a few days to wait, and I will talk to my oncologist. She was nice enough to give me a quick, no new or worrisome findings. So I guess I'm still riding the stable train, but I just don't know what that means. And there's lots of new things to come. Thanks for your thoughts and prayers. We'll find out, and you know I'll let you know. Good luck to all of you out there. If you're waiting for tests for yourself or your loved one, I know it's kind of unsettling at times. So hang in there. I'm just going to keep myself busy. Today we're going on a snowflake hunt. It's really cute. A town just a little bit away from us, they've got a cute little snowflake hunt at the city parks. So we're just driving around, tromping through the snow, looking for little flyers posted. A lot of them have been on trees, and you scan it with your phone, and, you know, maybe we'll win a prize. It's really fun getting outside. It's really cold yesterday, but, you know, it was really great to get outside, look at the sun. I'm enjoying every minute of the day. Okay, that's a lie. There are still hard times, you know, let's not sugarcoat it, but enjoying a lot of the day. And I can't think of a better thing than to be outside with my family. So moving on today, holy cow, I have a very, very special guest for you today. You may have read about her story. It went viral. It was everywhere. That's how I got in touch with her. Meet Laurel Rose. When she's not out fighting stage 4 cancer, she's fighting the black bear in her cabin. Yeah, you heard me right. She's out enjoying life, minding her own business, and a black bear decides to break into her home. Her story is inspiring and really shows us how to keep going, keep fighting. So here is my discussion with Laurel Rose, and I do want to give you a heads up. Her story is very chilling, and some of the details are a little graphic. I'm pleased to present Laurel Rose.
Hello.
Hi, Laurel Rose. How are you?
I'm good. How are you? I am so pleased to meet you.
Well, thank you. Likewise.
I can't thank you enough for joining us today. It's so cool. I'm like honored to meet you. Your story is really intriguing and inspiring and uplifting and scary. I'm just so excited to hear how you're doing and tell me about you.
Oh, well, I'm doing extremely well, all things considered. If I can be inspiring, that's exciting. I'm just happy to be here. What else can I say?
Ugh, I get it. I know. I have a feeling you and I have that in common. We don't take life for granted, but after what you've been through, I think you're gonna one up me there.
I don't know. We all just take it one day at a time, don't we? But yeah, I had
Absolutely.
one more exciting day than I anticipated. That's for sure.
Yeah. I read about you online. Your story went completely viral. It was all over the place. I read the headline and something to the effect of cancer fighter fends off black bear. And my jaw dropped. I thought, my goodness, as if cancer wasn't enough. How are you feeling today? How are things going?
Well, actually, I'm doing amazingly well, all things considered. I'm a little bit tired, but other than that, I'm doing really well. I just finished my sixth course of chemotherapy for I have a lymphoma. It's a weird one. It's a splenic marginal zone lymphoma. It's a small B cell lymphoma, about 2% of non-Hodgkin's lymphomas are this type. I had to pick a weird one. They don't have a standardized regime for this because there haven't been enough to do big controlled studies. So they're doing what they do for a lot of other small B cell lymphomas. So I was treated initially with just Rituxan for 4 months and had 60% of my bone marrow involved, as well as my spleen. Having it in my bone marrow made it a stage four. And this particular lymphoma does not initially go to the lymph nodes. So it's just spleen, and then once it goes to the bone marrow, it's a stage four. So that's where I was last March when I was diagnosed. It's a slow-growing lymphoma, as lymphomas go. Probably in retrospect, it had it for a couple of years, maybe. The first treatment after the bone marrow biopsy last summer didn't do much. My hemoglobin went from 6, which was pretty darn low. I was short of breath sitting. I'd been to Arches Monument and I took a lot of photo stops. It was a good way of covering up the fact that I was short of breath. So my hemoglobin came up with the first series of treatments, but my bone marrow still had 50% tumor. So I got started on a second cycle of Rituxan and Treanda, and I'm just finishing up 6 months of that and have had side effects with the Rituxan. It makes my little throat swell closed.
Oh,
So I've had to have that in the hospital, whereas most people get that in the clinic over a couple of hours. I end up getting hospitalized and having that over a couple of days. Things have not been simple for me with regards to the lymphoma, but I'm finishing up the 6 months. I have the first month of this second round of treatment. We didn't use the Rituxan since I have pretty severe side effects. So I have one more Rituxan treatment and then I should be done and we'll take a peek at the bone marrow and see whether it did a better job of knocking the lymphoma back. So that's kind of where that is. So in the middle of all this, you know, with COVID, the B cells are the white cells that make antibodies. And with COVID, the vaccine stimulates B cells to make antibodies against COVID. So when you get a vaccine, you're trying to turn on B cells to make antibodies. And my B cells are lymphoma, but I'm getting chemotherapy to kill the lymphoma cells. They also kill the normal B cells. So when you give me a vaccine, you're stimulating something that I don't have. I've been vaccinated, boosted, but it probably hasn't done me a bit of good. So I'm next to a transplant patient, pretty maximally immunosuppressed. So because of that, the one place that I've been able to go is to our second home, our cabin in the mountains. It has kind of been the respite with my lymphoma. Can't go many places. COVID's kept me locked up, going through the treatment. You know, I've got to keep myself safe from COVID. You know,
I'm the same way. I haven't gone much of anywhere. So I'm glad you have the cabin to go to and your nice little getaway. Yeah.
Yeah. No, you got to keep your mind intact, you know?
Yeah.
Keeping your spirits up is, you know, a lot of the deal.
I agree.
And going up to the mountains is one of the things that keeps me going. You know, if I can't be around other people and things like that, getting out in nature is a good thing for me. So anyway, in October, my husband and my 29-year-old son and I were up in the mountains, and we'd been at my son's home that evening and got to our place late in the evening. So we had eaten dinner elsewhere and got to the cabin, put our groceries away. So we had no kitchen food out, no kitchen trash out. The cabin didn't have any tasty smells or any of these kinds of things out. And the cabin is two stories. The main living area is on the second story, along with the kitchen and the master bedroom. And at about 5 to 6 in the morning, in pitch black, I was asleep with my husband on the second floor, and I heard this crash, thump, crash, thump, coming from the great room, the kitchen area. And it woke me up, and I assumed my 29-year-old, 6'4" son was doing something in the kitchen. I wasn't sure what, but it was loud. It sounded like something might break. I was annoyed, and I got up to see what he was up to. I never suspected what I was going to find. I opened the door to the bedroom, walked out in the dark, went a few feet across the top of the stairway, and it's pitch black, and there was a little bit of light coming from an open freezer door. And then it registered from that little bit of light from the freezer door that the thumping was coming from a huge bear standing in front of the freezer, flinging frozen meat on the wooden floor. He obviously didn't like the frozen meat. He was taking it out of the freezer and just flinging it on the floor.
Wow.
Yeah. Yeah. Surprise. Wow. And about the time that it registered, this is just a moment. I wake up, walk out of my room, take a few steps into the great room, and register that there's a bear there, a big bear, flinging things on the floor. And as this registers with me, it must have registered with him that I was there. And he just flew at me. It happened in a flash, basically in complete darkness. I momentarily saw a paw, and then I could see nothing. And I could feel him just tearing at me. He was coming from everywhere. It was like knives. I was terrified. I don't scream. I'm not a screamer. And I was terrified. I was screaming at the top of my lungs. I didn't know what was coming from what direction, what was going to happen. I was terrified. And then it stopped. And I knew where the light switches were on the wall. And I could see later from a video that my son took, where my bloody handprints were on the wall feeling for the light switches. And I got the lights on, and the bear had gone by me and had started down the stairs, which was, you know, 4 feet from where I was maybe. And he didn't have to come at me to get to the stairs. He could have gone right by me to leave, because there's some sense that he attacked me to get by me. He didn't have to attack me to leave with me startling him. At any rate, when I got the lights on, I could see him on the stairs. And I was above him, and he turned around and started to come back up. Oh my gosh, that's not what black bears are supposed to do. Black bears are not like grizzlies. They're not supposed to be aggressive like that. They're supposed to turn around and go away. This guy turned around to come back up. I was terrified. I was screaming the whole time. There was a quilt over the railing above the stairwell. And with just instinct, I took the quilt and threw it over the railing on top of him. And it must have startled him enough that he turned back around and started down the stairway. And he got most of the way down, and then he stopped and turned around again. to come back up. And, oh my goodness. And I was just, I couldn't stop screaming. I just couldn't stop screaming. And at this point, my husband and my son, who'd been sleeping, appeared. Thank goodness. My husband was at the top of the stairs. My son was close to the bottom of the stairs from the bedroom down there. And at that point, the bear turned back around and finished going downstairs and sauntered out the front door the way he'd come in. It was just horrific. I was bleeding profusely. I briefly saw myself in the mirror. My face was torn open. There was the quick thought, oh my goodness, I'm going to be a Phantom of the Opera face from now on. What a silly thought. I was torn from my nose down through my mouth, and I had big laceration by my neck and chest. I have a port, venous access port for my chemotherapy. The lacerations there were near my carotids, right very close to the venous access port. He'd bitten my breast. He major puncture wound and abrasion or lacerations right above my spleen, which is a huge spleen. I've been warned not to do things like ski or any kind of major exercise because of risk of splenic rupture. And here I'd been hit in the belly by a bear paw with a, you know, huge puncture wound. I had lacerations on the back of my arm, on my back. At this point, I was able to, you know, go the few steps back into the bedroom and lay down on the floor and put my feet straight up against the armoire there, trying to kind of auto transfuse myself. I was concerned. My biggest concern was that the puncture above my spleen, that I was bleeding into my abdomen. I was concerned that he'd caused splenic rupture. And if that had happened, I would be potentially bleeding to death in my abdomen. My husband was getting towels to put against the biggest wounds on my face and my abdomen, just try and stop the bleeding. My son was calling 911. I was a mess. The paramedics were there very quickly. Four men took me out down the stairs and into an ambulance. I was taken to a local hospital in Truckee, which is about 15 minutes away by car normally, so it had to have been faster. They assessed me there, gave me tetanus shot. I got CAT scan for my face to see how deep the lacerations were. It was very substantial, and they didn't think they had a surgeon with enough expertise to put my face back together at that hospital. The CAT scan of my abdomen thankfully showed that the puncture was just short of the spleen. You know, thank goodness it had not gotten to the spleen. That, yes. The hospital is a phenomenal hospital for orthopedics because it's close to all the ski resorts.
Sure.
It's not where you want to have an emergency splenectomy. So I was so blessed there.
Good.
I was so blessed in so many ways. I should have been dead from this whole thing. Normally when you get hit in the head by a big bear, and this was a big bear, I'm 5'9", and he was, you know, he was at least as big as I am. You know, you get hit in the head like that, breaking your neck, smashing your skull in, having been slashed across the neck. He was so close to my carotids. He was so close to my venous access port.
Your story is chilling. I'm sorry you had to go through that. I didn't mean to interrupt, but my gosh, what you've been through.
Oh, you know, the number of ways I am blessed. You know, once it happened, there was only so much that could be done. It's kind of my brain goes into, these are the things that we've got. Here are the facts. This is what can be done. Let's do what we can do and go from here. The initial thing was I might have splenic bleeding rupture. Let's get our legs up, try and keep the blood in the central body. Let's look for that first when we get to the hospital. I know I shouldn't tell people what to do, but when I got there, I wanted that CAT scan right away. They looked for a trauma hospital immediately to transfer me to, which ended up happening. I got transferred emergently down to Sacramento to the trauma hospital there. You know, how about some antibiotics? Being really acutely aware of my immunosuppressed state, and nobody there had seen a bear bite and bear attack before. It's not your usual in an emergency room. So they ended up using antibiotic that you would use for dog bite, which is a good choice. But what about anaerobes? So I'm sitting there pushing the doctors forward, and I ended up getting them to give me some clindamycin in addition to the NSAID.
This might be a good time to bring up that you are also a doctor. And so I can imagine it's like, you know, so much. I'm just amazed at you that you were, you know, thinking so clearly, like, okay, it's almost like you went into doctor mode. This is what I need. And I'm sure they were also shocked. They gladly accepted all of that.
They did. They were gracious. I was joking around with them. I've enjoyed wilderness medicine. It's one of the kind of the fun things that I've done. And I did an infectious disease fellowship after my internal medicine training. And so it's an interest of mine, even though I practice general internal medicine, but from the office to the ICU, I did a lot of different things in clinical practice. But I was talking to one of the nurses about, what do you do when you have a jellyfish sting, and how do you treat that? I was telling jokes with the other staff in the ER. They were more upset outwardly than I was at that point. But as long as I had them doing what I wanted them to do, there was no point in my crying or being outwardly panicked, because it accomplished nothing. You know, I was getting treated as quickly and as well as I could be. One thing that I learned in retrospect was that I got my wounds irrigated, but I came in in a robe. My nightgown was drenched in blood, and that got taken off and left at home. And I came in a robe, and they quickly put me in a gown. But a couple of the wounds got completely missed, and I couldn't feel all of them and didn't notice. And so some of them didn't get irrigated. And so they're the ones that, you know, have the bigger scars, because they weren't the deepest ones. But it would have been ideal to strip me down and look at every square inch of me. So don't anybody get into a bear mauling situation, but if you do, don't be modest.
Right. Oh my gosh.
Let them strip you down.
Yes. That's inch. Excellent advice.
You know, and then I went by ambulance high speed down to the trauma hospital in Sacramento, and was seen there by the ear, nose, and throat specialist, who understood the anatomy of the face there and was able to do a multi-level closure. I have to say, I never thought they'd be able to put me back together as well as he did. I mean, you can see that, you know, I've been sewn together if you look, but he did an incredible job.
I think so. You look absolutely amazing. If I didn't know the story, I would have never guessed you had, you know, massive wound. You look beautiful.
Yeah. It didn't go simply from there. You know, there were other things that I'll get to. What with the bear, it looks like what happened is he came in front door. He opened the front door. They're very smart. They break into about one cabin a day up at Lake Tahoe. About half to 70% of the homes up there are second homes. Many of them are vacant at any time. And they break into the vacant houses. They know how to open the doors. Despite their big paws, they're actually very dexterous. If they can't turn the doorknob or push the lever, they tear the door off, as is what happened to the cabin three doors up from ours the same night. The deadbolt wasn't on ours, and so it looks like he just pushed the lever and let himself in. Went down a hall, climbed up the stairs. We didn't have any kitchen trash. There were no kitchen dishes. There were no leftovers or anything. We hadn't cooked dinner the night before. The food had been put away. The only thing that was out was a bag of unripe avocados. And it appears that that's what the bear smelled from outside the house that attracted him. There were all kinds of rumors that went around and so on and so forth about having enticing smells and things like that would have brought a bear in. No, there is nothing on the first floor, nothing obvious. There was a bag of unripe avocados on the second floor. I make a big point of keeping nothing on the first floor that would entice a bear. We know there are bears around. They've become real common in the neighborhood in the last couple of years. We have a bear box, which is a metal box with a kind of a safety way to get your hand in that the bears can't access to keep your trash in. So the bears can't get into your garbage, you know, everything to kind of keep them away from our people, food, and trash on our property. We're real cognizant.
Sure.
But anyway, there was really nothing obvious in the cabin that should have enticed a bear, obviously. Mm. So the bear came in the front door, let himself in, came down the hallway, came up the stairs, got these avocados. They found the wrapper at the bottom of the stairs. So looked like went down the stairs, ate the avocados, and then must have come back up the stairs. And then the wrappers for the Häagen-Dazs and Ben & Jerry's ice cream were on the ground in front of the freezer. Didn't like the frozen meat, was flinging it on the floor, but obviously enjoyed ice cream. As it turns out, this is one of the favorites that the bears that break into cabins like. They like ice cream. That's pretty much what happened. It's October 30th is kind of the end of the fall season. The bears are trying to get 20,000 calories or so a day in anticipation of hibernation. So they're really looking for a lot. There's a big problem at Lake Tahoe because the bears have become habituated to people and people food. People have not been careful about garbage, and the bears over the last generation or so have become used to and dependent on people food. So tourists who come up and don't put their trash in bear boxes and leave picnic things around, bears get used to eating them. They get used to being around people. They have been, in the last year or so, we hadn't seen them a while back, but in the last year or so, started to be visible in the neighborhood. Last summer, we saw some in the daytime. In the months prior to my attack, we learned subsequently that they had been breaking into cars up and down the street. You know, having a candy wrapper in the car was enough for them to come in. They can smell a quarter mile away. Their sense of smell, maybe even more than that, is incredible. And they're extraordinarily intelligent. They'll learn something, you know, say how to open a door, and they'll teach each other and they'll teach their young. The young stay with them 1.5 to 2 years. They learn how to eat and what to eat from their mothers. So a cub that's been raised in the Lake Tahoe Basin and has been taught to eat people food doesn't know necessarily how to fend for itself in the wild. And so I learned a whole lot about bears after this incident. I thought beforehand that you take a bad bear and you relocate it. And, you know, in Montana or Alaska, that might work because the bears aren't habituated to people and people food. And Lake Tahoe, it doesn't work. They had done that with a bear that had figured out you could go into Safeway by going up to the automatic doors. They would open. The bear would go into the produce section and eat avocados. They relocated the bear. And the bear was essentially starving to death because it didn't know how to survive in the wild because it had been brought up in the Tahoe area. So people are making bad bears. This particular bear is dangerous. He was not a usual black bear. We only have black bears in California. Unlike grizzlies that are more aggressive, a usual black bear that's not habituated to people and so on will tend to go away. If they're in a situation like this, once it had been startled or something, they would tend to go out the way that they had come in. That he turned around twice to come back is not normal black bear behavior. It's frightening behavior. He's tasted human blood. He knows where he can get food in our home. Whether we have a deadbolt on or not, they know how to tear doors off. I'm just lucky to be alive. I'm glad it wasn't my grandchildren. Ugh. It didn't end with getting sewn up down at UC Davis. A matter of days later, I started getting some swelling in my breast and in my abdomen and was concerned about abscess formation because I had the punctures from mm-hmm. where I'd been bitten. This is great. The quickest we could get a stat ultrasound as an outpatient, we were being told 3 weeks, which was ridiculous.
Yeah.
You know, the choice was to go to the emergency room, which mm-hmm. was also ridiculous. Fortunately, my husband's a nephrologist and has an ultrasound machine that he uses for kidneys. He doesn't ultrasound breasts, but in this case, he does know what a pocket of fluid looks like. You know, just be aggressive. You want to take care of yourself. Yep. Be assertive. Take care of yourself.
Good for you guys.
Just do what you need to do. Take care of yourself.
I love it. I love it.
Don't quit.
Yes.
I don't quit.
No, you don't.
So anyway, there were pockets of fluid found. And again, immunosuppressed. And so got myself to an infectious disease doctor, got myself emergently to a surgeon, got those drained.
Oh.
So, you know, dodged a lot of bullets with that one, and thankfully I'm here and didn't get septic. And I feel like when I have the energy, I want to speak out loudly about the bear policies and so on in California. There was a very abbreviated attempt to catch this bear that was abandoned almost immediately by the Fish and Wildlife Department. There's a very strong bear league that feels that the bears should be able to do whatever they want, wherever they want, whenever they want. That my son, who saw his mother lying on the floor bleeding, and it wasn't clear whether I was going to live or not, was being hazed within a couple of hours, being called a bear killer. Can you imagine? People were shouting at him. People put feces on their driveway, threw bear scat at the cabin. There was concern that the bear might be trapped and put down. And these people were much more concerned about the bear than the fact that somebody might be killed by an aggressive black bear that was acting in abnormal and aggressive fashion. The Fish and Wildlife Department, while they deny this, seem to be very influenced in their lack of effort trying to locate the bear. It's a big concern because if it's not me or my family, it's going to be somebody else, and
right.
The problem has accelerated a great deal in the last year or so. When I get the energy, I think I need to speak out a bit about this. Somebody's not going to be as lucky as I am, and it's predictable. And
right,
you know, I hate to see that happen.
Oh, for sure. You know what it's like to go through it. You don't want to see anybody else have to endure it. And like you said, you know, well, it could be your family again or anybody. You just don't know. You get your strength up. Keep doing what you're doing. Keep fighting the fight. I'm looking at you and I don't think you're stopping anytime soon. You've come so far already. I think it's awesome.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's no quit in me.
Yeah.
I mean, quit is just not part of the vocabulary. So No, the plan is to be in remission, and there are other tricks up the, you know, the doctor's sleeves. If need be, you go to bone marrow transplant. It's not one that they consider curable, but it's slow growing. What you try and do is jump through the hoops and get into remission, which can be long-term remissions. You know, during one of those long terms, you wait for the medicine and the science to catch up.
Exactly. I know, I'm amazed at how much science has happened since I've been diagnosed. It's incredible.
Yeah, you're another amazing story. You know, as a doctor, I'm you know, listening to your story and, you know, marveling, because people did not do as well as you've done 10, 15, 20 years ago. Yeah, you just never say quit.
Oh, no, you're right. And, you know, what's funny, when you were telling about your case of cancer, you know, mine is 2% of the pancreatic type cases. I have acinar cell carcinoma. So mine was really rare too, without any studies, without any protocol for treatment. We'll just give you what everybody who has pancreatic cancer gets. Hey, we're kind of like cancer twinsies.
And why not?
I love it.
You know, go with the best guess, and
yeah,
that's what you do. No, I went online and looked at the international conferences and tried to see what other people were doing, and my blessed to be in the San Francisco Bay Area, where there are some really fine medical schools and programs. We've got Stanford and UC San Francisco, and my doctor, I'm seeing private practice doctor, but they're tied in with and work with the pathologists and the oncologists at the universities. So, you know, I feel like I'm getting very good care and have access to second opinions and things like that. I feel like I'm getting, you know, the best opinions that I can get. But, you know, real honestly, everybody says real honestly, we're making our best guesses. We don't have a standardized treatment for this.
Exactly. Yep. I'm coming up on 2 years of my immunotherapy trial, and they're kind of saying, well, we're not quite sure what to do with you. I'm still here. I welcome that problem. What you're doing. That's fine. I'll shrug my shoulders right along with you.
Yeah, no, that was one of the axioms of medicine when I went through training. If you're, what you're doing is working, keep doing it. If it's not working, stop.
Hey, that sounds good. Well, it has been a pure pleasure to hear your story. Actually, it's been chilling. I'll be honest. It's a chilling story. The ending is so, so beautiful. I'm happy for you. I'm so sorry you had to go through it all. You are not a lady that's going to lay down, though. And it doesn't surprise me one bit. You got rid of that black bear and you're still going strong. Good for you. It's just a pleasure to meet you. Thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. No, my adult sons have decided that mom's badass because I didn't fall down. Mom did not fall down for this bear. She's still standing. And
yes, you are.
They expect nothing less. So there you have it.
That's really, really cool.
And bless everybody who donates blood. Thank you to anybody who does, or their relatives and friends and so on. And we really, right now with COVID and so on, donations are way down. So this is an especially important time for people who can to donate. Yeah. People like me kind of need it sometimes.
Oh, yeah. So many people do. And that is a great message to get out there. Give blood. If you can, go and do it. It makes you feel good, you know, that you're able to help people. Yeah.
I definitely would if I could, for sure.
Yeah, you and me both. And they'd send mine back.
Mine too, but I'm grateful. I've got a lot of things to be grateful for, and that's one of them.
Aw, well, I'm grateful to have met you, and let's keep in touch and do this again sometime.
Thank you so much.
The pleasure is all mine. Thank you. I'm glad we were able to come together. And I really, really, from the bottom of my heart, appreciate you sharing your story. Thank you.
No, I appreciate it. And yeah, more power to you. And, you know, keep the energy up. Keep the energy flowing.
I will. That's one thing I got. And I'm not going to take it for granted. You know, we're going to keep going. I hope to talk to you soon. Take care.
Thank you.
Okay. You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
Bye-bye.
I got to take a deep breath after that one. Thank you so much, Laurel Rose, for sharing your incredible story with us. What an inspiration. I am so thankful that you are okay. You showed that bear who's boss. Cancer's next. Show that cancer who the boss is and get rid of it. I know you can do it. Your spirit and your drive is just awesome. I am so, so lucky to have been able to talk to you. Thank you. I really, really appreciate it. Well, that wraps up another episode of Hello Cancer Friends. I still can't believe it. I mean, what a story. It just makes a typical day feel so irrelevant. I mean, when you go through something like that. So I will learn from her and continue on my path of stress-free living, appreciating the little things, not taking a single moment for granted. Thanks for another life lesson, Laurel Rose. I hope you guys all have a really great week. Take care of yourselves. Do something special for yourself this week. I instantly think of manicures and pedicures, which I probably won't do either, but I think you guys should all go out though and treat yourself to something special. Why not? You deserve it. We all do. All right, I'm rambling. Have a really great week. Take good care. Talk to you next time. Bye-bye.